Lear has over 20 years of experience in health program operations, training, and management. She has worked in public health programs focused on youth, HIV/AIDS, family planning, and maternal child health. She lived and worked overseas on HIV issues in Africa, Asia, and Eastern Europe. She currently directs operations and grants for a large HIV/AIDS clinic and outreach program within nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, and has been a member of APHA since 1995. Welcome, Lear.
Good morning.
Good morning.
See if I can click through and not. Okay. I have no relationships to disclose. I should tell all of you, though, that this morning I had breakfast across from Sarah Weddington, which was so exciting that I decided that I would finish my coffee so I could legitimately linger a little bit longer. Unfortunately for all of you, that means I'm way too caffeinated. So if I'm speaking really quickly, please raise your hand so I know to slow down. So I work at Nationwide Children's Hospital at the FAFES program, which is the Family AIDS Clinic and Education Services. We are embedded inside a pediatric hospital. This is the first time that I've ever worked in a hospital or in a pediatric hospital. So there are a lot of things that are new for me. I came from working on PEPFAR programs in Africa and Asia, so there are some really interesting similarities around how the hospital manages clients within their facility. We're a pretty large clinic. We see over 500 patients each year. And right now we are, essentially, if you live in Ohio and you have a child that is HIV infected, that child is seen in our clinic. We operate as a wraparound clinic with an intensive medical case management model. This is actually developed slowly from our first patient that we saw in 1988. It's interesting for me because if you work on PEPFAR programs in Africa and Asia, you have to do wraparound clinic services. It's the only thing that makes sense. I think in the United States we came to that a little bit slowly because we have a very different healthcare system. But this clinic actually kind of came to that naturally, just through the process of seeing clients. So we have teams where you have your doctor, and your doctor might be your pediatrician. We have several on staff. They might be a specialist for adolescent care, or they might be an adult infectious disease doctor. Attached to each doctor, we have a clinic RN, clinic social worker, a dietitian, and a patient advocate. Our patient advocates are clients that have been very successful on medication for a number of years and have an interest in working with generally newly diagnosed clients or cases that have been brought in. State of Ohio now has the Linkage to Care program, and that is finding patients that have fallen out of care and actually tracking them down and finding out why did they fall out of care and how can we get you linked up with services. So a quick history on our program. Our first case was seen in 1988. Around 1991, we were given money as a demonstration project just for pediatric HIV. We were Part D. We are now A, B, C, I mean everything but F, even though we do a certain amount of training. And under that linkage to care model that I just mentioned, we've had a 19% increase in clients since January, which is actually kind of overwhelming because our clinic is small, so we can't actually just add on doctors. I'm in this very unusual position right now where I actually have the money to hire new clinicians, but I don't have a space to physically put them in a room. I've never actually in my career had too much money and like no place to put it. I actually spend most of my day like knocking on the doors for mental health services in the hospital and saying, I've got, you know, green money, it's federal, it's really good. I'd love to hire one of your psychologists. And they say, yeah, we'd love to take your money. We don't have a room to use them. It's a good problem to have. Here's something that we learned in the hospital. So we started treating children, because that's our focus, and then we discovered that we were in this unusual position where, you know, an HIV-positive mother might be bringing in her HIV-positive child, and then we'll discover along the way that she has missed all of her appointments. and she didn't get her flu shot, and she's coughing. And yet here we are saying, well, now your child is fully up to date on your immunizations. You should really consider that flu shot. It made no sense to us. So we moved to actually treating everybody because, you know, the next step, the next logical step is if we treat the mother and the child, but she also has another child who's HIV negative, it also doesn't make sense for us to say we're going to treat you and the HIV positive child, but not the HIV negative child. And we did realize that because people will come to all of their children's appointments, we actually, when we do flu clinic, it is a zoo. I mean, we have people with 9 children and everybody gets their immunizations. We're one of the few clinics in the hospital that that also sees adults. We actually don't really advertise that. I'm not really sure why it was a hospital decision. I think they were afraid of an influx of people coming in. I just don't think that's the way HIV care goes. So we run any of the vaccinations. Really, you know, when people ask me about the clinic, I tell them that we're really a primary care clinic with a specialty focus because you're coming to us for all of your medical care. It's a difference in model because in Columbus, Ohio, there are about 4 other HIV AIDS service organizations. So you can go to Ohio State where they will see you for your HIV infection. You can go to AIDS Healthcare Foundation where they will give you just your medications. And then there's the AIDS Resource Center of Ohio. And they do operate as a clinic, but they're not able to always see you for all of your conditions. The nice thing about being in a hospital is that you know we're able to kind of juggle funding around a little bit so we can maintain the full package of care that we think our clients need. And when we have funding for it, that's great. I look for extra funding. When we don't, I go to the hospital and beg for extra money for flu vaccines or whatever it is. So it means that your visits are actually significantly longer than if you normally would go and see your doctor. It might be a 45-minute visit if there's a bit of a wait. Often our visits can be 2 hours because you're not just seeing your doctor for one thing. You're seeing your primary care physician. You're seeing your OBGYN. You're getting your flu vaccine. You're getting tested for TB. So you're actually having like 5 to 6 visits each time you come in. And that's something that we're actually working on so that we can kind of manage expectations. One of the ways that we make that a little bit shorter is that when you set up your appointment with your doctor, we immediately set up, here's your lab appointment. So 2 weeks before you come in, you come into our clinic, it takes maybe 20 minutes, we do a blood draw, and that way between your blood draw and your actual appointment with your doctor, we can go through all of your labs so that when you see your doctor, we know exactly how you're doing, and if your medication needs to be changed, we can do it right then and there. We have a pharmacist on staff that sees all of our patients, which is really helpful so that, and we also have a pharmacy on site, so we can do a lot of things immediately instead of extending that time. Most of our patients have their HIV medications filled on site. We have a 340B pharmacy. We've had it for about 20 years. You know, if you have insurance, if you don't know about 340B programs, they're brilliant. If you have insurance, we charge your insurance. If you don't have coverage, it's generic, or basically we eat the cost as a hospital. So your medication can be free. What we have found, though, is that, you know, if they have a prescription for, you know, an antibiotic or something, they just take it across the street to CVS, which is sort of interesting because it means that we have a record of all of their HIV medication, and CVS has a record of, like, everything else. So sometimes we have to work with patients to kind of look at both their scripts. But it's one way that they can hide their status in the community. Having a dietitian on staff is actually kind of fantastic because, especially when people are just starting a new medication, or if they've been on one for a long time and something has changed, it's really helpful for them to meet with our clients because we find that when you're taking so much medication, sometimes we have to look a little bit deeper. It may or may not be the combination of medication that you're taking. Sometimes it's actually how and when and what you're eating. So we do have dietitians to work with all of our clients, particularly around weight gain issues. Also, we deal with a lot of adolescents. So we do have some programs in place for our teenage girls that sometimes start to struggle with food issues. So our huddle. I think this is actually probably the most successful part of our program. Does anybody actually work in a hospital or a clinic? So one of the things that, honestly, when you go back, Google this hospital, because we have our Zambi work in infection control. This hospital's infection control policies are incredible. We are at 99% for hand washing, and I can tell you that 1% was an intern, and boy, is he sorry. We actually have been a JCO model and a case story for several different things. And one of the things that they really love about us is that for all of our clinics, we have the full team gathers, and we look at, so we do this at like 7:30 in the morning, we look at all the patients that are coming in. Nurse case manager will start off, if that's their client, they'll read their name, and they'll say why that patient is coming in today. The social worker, the dietitian, the doctor, and the pharmacist all have the ability at that moment to say, I need to see that person to update the following information. I need to make sure that, you know, their housing is secure. We need to make sure that they're taking their treatment. This is usually a time that we can, everyone gets little bits and pieces of different information about clients that are coming in. And this actually is a way for us to kind of capture what's really happening for clients so that we can meet them where they're at. We discover that somebody was just switched to being part of the food bank, but it turns out that they lost their car. We just found that out last week. It was left on somebody else's voicemail, so now we know that our patient advocate is going to get out of clinic and take them over to the food bank. When I meet with the seventh floor, which is where all the executives live, and they say, tell us about your clinic, I give them this because they love neat, clean models. This actually does represent a difference in how we see patients. Because we have so many people coming through, and we are a teaching hospital, so almost all of these people will have somebody trailing after them, we try to manage it so that not everyone has a student at the same time, because that's completely overwhelming. But we room a patient in one room, and then they stay there for the rest of that time, and everyone else will rotate around them. Because otherwise, we would have a patient moving like every 15, 20 minutes, which is exhausting in and of itself. So we do try and make it as user-friendly. Also because if people are there with children, they just need to be in one room. One person that is not on this model is actually our sibling advocate, who is a member of our early childhood center team. She runs the playroom, so that if you come with multiple children, you can leave the siblings in the playroom. And while they're there, she's also going through a developmental delay checklist. She's also got several different tests that she's putting them through, even though they look like games. So it's usually not very intrusive. So that if we have the ability to catch anything else that's going on, that's where we would catch it. So with that kind of intensive case management, this is what our viral suppression looks like. This was total number of patients that came in for this year through August. And when you take a quick look at it, it looks like we are at 72% of our clients have an undetectable viral load. In that red zone, in the yellow and the red is, usually the yellow is patients that are new and they're transitioning on medication. It usually takes us about 1 year before we can get you down to the green zone. And red actually includes a few folks that are multi-drug resistant, but mostly there are transitional youth. This is the numbers. And then in 2 minutes, I would say outside of our clinic, what we do is our emergency department has expanded to offer free oral HIV tests to everybody who's coming through. So that we can help our docs for that, we've developed helping hands. They're part of our electronic medical records so that when they're going through all the tests that you need to have, it will pop up here. You can hand this information over to parents or to youth, and they'll tell them a little bit about HIV tests and statistics in our area. Emergency department tests are slowly catching on, but we found that adolescents will generally agree to it if it's not a blood test. Literature review will tell you that fewer than 10% of the eligible population is offered a test when these pilots are done. This is the long model, which I'm happy to give to anybody if you're interested. And I will zip through all of this. We are testing at about 5% of the eligible population, which basically means if you come into our ED with a broken ankle, we're probably not going to ask you about an HIV test. But if you come in there because you're having some GI issues or some reproductive health issues, we will offer you the test. About half of our testers were African American females. We were not able to capture all their sexual orientation. We're working on that now. And we test everybody who is 13 and over. This is our data by month. And actually, I can tell you that this is really related to, I started working in February. And by April, I'd figured out all the people that worked in the ED department. And by July, I knew all their bosses. And it seems like we sort of had a bit of an increase. This, I know I've only got 1 minute left, so we're also rolling this out in our urgent care centers, which actually see more people than the emergency department, even though they're only open 5 days a week, and they're open between like 9 to 6, and emergency departments are open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. More people are accessing urgent care departments. This is like your minute clinic, because just the way that, I mean, I don't, preaching to the choir, you understand we have a crazy health insurance land right now. So more people will access their basic primary care through urgent care centers, and we are training all of the staff at our urgent care sites in how to do HIV testing. Really the importance of pre and post counseling, because that really does determine whether or not you get into treatment. And these are the cards that we designed that we hand out at the emergency department. We change this every 6 months or so. Right now we're at what's your status, update your status in 20 minutes or less. All they have to do is tear off the card and hand it to someone, and they can get a free test.